Hey everyone, this is Ksenia Montan and welcome to another episode of People of Marketing podcast. I'm the founder and CEO of Planable, the collaboration tool for social media teams, and I launched this podcast to take a sneak peek into the lives of top marketers. Every week, we explore the story of their careers, choices, mistakes, wins, and imperfections of their work life. Today, we're going to chat with Brandon Cook. He joined FCB 3 years ago as Global Chief Communications Officer. He is on a mission to drive the positioning of the agency and build up its reputation around the world. Brandon has a very unique background in marketing, comms, and new business from his previous role as Global CMO at McGarry Bowen. Brandon, welcome to People of Marketing, and thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Ksenia, for having me. I'm very honored and pleased to be here.
Thank you. So I love starting this podcast by walking a bit through everyone's careers and trying to connect the dots. So my first question to you would be, what would you say was your first interaction with marketing? What got you into marketing in the first place?
I'd like to say it was watching. I mean, it's so funny. People always have different stories in the business. And I think a lot of times, I was a kid, I was kind of always fascinated with advertising and commercials. And a lot of times would just wait, especially watching cartoons, for what to see what the next commercial was going to be about. But I would say that my first real engagement with thinking about marketing as a career really happened because I thought I wanted to be a newscaster. And I went into the journalism school at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where I was a student. And I kind of took one of the news casting classes at the school, and I thought, I don't want to sit here staring at camera reading news. I feel like there's more creativity that I have to offer, and I just kind of felt like I was not really utilizing my creative muscle. I'd grown up writing short stories creating plays and all kinds of things, and so I went to a counselor I had there at school, and she said, there's actually, when you're describing to me what you want to do, this intersection of creativity and commerce, it feels like you might want to check out something in the advertising program, which was also in the journalism school. And I went and took a sports marketing class over summer school 1 year, and I was just blown away. I was like, wait a minute. All those commercials I watched as a kid, I was fascinated by, there actually is a whole business that is, involved around this intersection of creativity and commerce. And what a great way. Originally I was going to go to business school, then I ended up in journalism. And then I kind of found my way into what I think was always destined for me, which was, being able to use my creative muscle, but also being able to really be focused on commerce and driving business. And so I ended up in the right place. And yeah. I said, I immediately went after that class. I took the class for summer, fell in love with it. And I said, I'm changing my focus. I'll stay in the journalism school, but I'm changing my focus from news writing and broadcast news to advertising. And I never look back.
That's such a lovely story. I think you're so fortunate to have found what you wanted to do so early on, because, there's so many young people that are struggling to find what they want to do in their lives. So
I couldn't agree more. It's funny. One of the things when I was looking for my first job and I started reaching out, how you do the emails to alumni. I always swore, because the people that did write back, I was like, and some of them were very senior people, and I always swore, and they would say to me, listen, I do this because someone helped me. And I asked that when you do end up in a place where you can help someone else, try to do that. And so I've always, anytime I get an email from anybody looking to do an informational interview or someone from my alma mater, I always try to make time, because I remember being that kid who was just, trying to figure out where in the world was the right place. And I graduated in one of the worst economies since the Great Depression. It was right after 9/11. And all the agencies were cutting people, and advertising marketing budgets have been slashed. And so the people that did answer me and took the time to meet with me, and even at a time when they were probably worried about their own jobs, quite frankly.
Right. Yeah.
I am super appreciative of that. And I think you're right. I think there are a lot of students coming out today who just don't know what they want to do, or they're so good at, you know, so many different things that they can't figure out how to focus on what one area is the right first step for them. And I think that's the, I think so many people today are so worried about making the wrong first step that it almost paralyzes them. And what I always tell people when I was like, listen, get your foot in the door. You, no one thinks you're going to go and take your first job and immediately hit on exactly what the right function in the industry is for you. But you've got to get in there and start just exploring and figuring it out. Like, you know, don't sit there and worry about, is this the exact right job? Because, this, you know, as long as you're giving them a year or a couple of years and you move on from there, that's fine, you know. But so I think a lot of kids sometimes obsess today on, is this the right perfect first job?
Yeah, I know what you mean. And this is amazing advice. It actually takes me to my next question that I had for you. You know, early on in your career, did you have anyone like that to give you advice? Did you have anyone you admired, or you were, you know, did you follow anyone, or did you have someone as a mentor to help you out very early stage in your career?
Yeah, there were two people in my early days that really helped me in a way that I will always be grateful for. The first one was a professor. So when I made that switch into advertising at the journalism school at UNC, there was a professor by the name of Bob Lauterborn. And he had been in an ad guy for quite a long time, and he had worked on some very big famous campaigns through his career. And we decided to do this thing called the National Student Advertising Competition, which is a competition I've stayed close to even through my career now, and it's sponsored by the AAF, which is the American Advertising Federation. And essentially, they have one client every year that signs up. And all the college campuses and chapters across the country work on that client like a new business pitch. And then you pitch the client through at the district level and then at the national level. And Bob Lauterborn was our professor who we hadn't, the UNC hadn't had a team in quite a long time. And they hadn't had a team that had won. We consistently were getting beaten by Duke and by UVA. And so I joined, you know, he's like, hey, maybe you might be interested in doing this. And I fell in love with the craft of actually pitching and new business and advertising through that experience. And also the value of teamwork and what it takes to really pull off a full, campaign pitch effort. And he was just one of those guys that like, you know, I remember we did our book and we had to turn your plans books and your campaign books in weeks before you went and actually had the pitch presentation. And the two nights, I think, before it was due, we took it to him and he's reading through it. And it was kind of like a training experience for what it would be like with clients. He was like, I don't think this is going to win.
Oh, damn.
And you could just see all of our faces just like, you know, completely go white because we had spent weeks and weeks writing this thing and putting what we thought was our heart and soul. And you know, he was like, listen, he's like, this is written so dry. You guys have such passion for this. And I sit here and I talk to you and the passion doesn't come through on these pages the way it does when we're talking to you, and you won't make it through to the actual in-person presentations. And so we pulled two all-nighters in a row and got together as a team, divvied up the book, and literally rewrote that thing from start all the way through to finish. Not so much the ideas, but just the way that ideas were being presented and adding in some explanation in certain areas. And we literally mailed that book off. We sent it to him, I think, a couple hours before we had to mail it off, you know, FedEx it out. And he was like, guys, this has come, you know, this is light years ahead. And it was just... it was moments like that where he was able to deliver tough, hard advice or tough, hard feedback. And we respected him so much. And we took it on board, went and made changes. And then, you know, we ended up winning the district competition and going on to nationals for the first time in, I think, 10 years. We were the first team from UNC to have done that. And so it was just one of those. And he and I have stayed close throughout the year. So, you know, mostly through social media. But he's just one of those incredible guys that's inspired generations, I think, of students from from the school and has always been someone that I've greatly respected. The other person I would say is the first person to give me my first real job in the business, which was, the global CEO of Y&R at the time, a guy by the name of Ed Vick, was a UNC graduate, and he gave away one paid internship each summer to a student from UNC, and you had to write an essay on why you thought you deserved the internship, and then he would interview the top three and pick and personally choose the one that would get the paid internship in New York. And I was fortunate enough to be that person. And Ed, I would remember I would go up. I mean, when I didn't realize that I was like the CEO's chosen intern. And so when I got to Y&R and was they had a great, incredible internship program, I was kind of like this. They were like, "Oh, you're the CEO's pick." Like I was like this kind of scary guy because I was going to tell the CEO and them. And I remember I went for the first time up to, I forgot what floor I was on, but it was the executive floor, and it was like mahogany paneled and, assistants everywhere and these huge offices. And I go up there to do my check-in, after being there, I think for the first month, and it was very intimidating.
Right.
And I remember walking in and Ed, here's this global CEO of a major, one of the top ad agencies in the world. And he's spending, 15, 20 minutes with me to talk about how my internship's going. And he was so cool, so disarming, hey, just tell me what's going on. How are you finding New York? We just sat and had a conversation as if, this were one of my parents' good friends or somebody. And he ended up actually being, after he retired, he ended up chairing the journalism school board, the board of advisors. And I stayed close with him as well. And he's just been one of these guys that is incredibly business smart, but also incredibly human. In a way that we connected, and I had to give a presentation. I remember back to the school after I did my internship, and Ed was in the room. I guess I was presenting to the board of advisors, and he was like, I was so nervous, and he could tell I was, and so he just started cracking jokes with me to make me loosen up and be more natural. And I always remember thinking, my God, what a great person. When you can read someone's that nervous, that they're willing to help alleviate that and help you, be your best person. That's what you want out of mentors. And he was he was one of those people that was able to do that. So those are the two, I think, directly tied to my career that I've always been very grateful to have had be there with me from the early days. And then beyond that, I've got an incredible, my mom is one of the most amazing human beings in the world. And so I just think, you can't always discount your family and the role they play, your friends and family. But my mom is one of these most incredible human beings that I'm fortunate to have a part of my life. And she was always incredibly supportive and always, we didn't have a lot growing up. I wasn't, I wasn't a rich kid by any means, but my mom always found a way, for example, living in New York City was not cheap to live in New York City for a summer interning. And so when I found out that I got that internship, to scrounge the money together to find an apartment and all the expense that goes along with living in New York at that age, she found a way to make it happen. And so I've got to, I'm always internally grateful to my family and what they've done to help me. So
wow. I am hugely, hugely impressed by your stories. They're just, honestly amazing. So the last one I can totally 100% resonate with you. I think my mom is my biggest role model I've ever had. So I'm with you on that page. The first one, what I loved about your first story is how your professor gave you not just, the kind of the professional experience of how it is, in an agency life, but also the cultural side of it, making you guys pull one-nighters and just this.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, being a part of the competition from the judging side, I would say the organizational side, because I actually sit on that competition that happens every year. I now sit on the board at the AAF that oversees it, and now seeing some of the professors and how much they drive it themselves, I'm actually really grateful, because he was kind of like these professors, was like, listen, you guys are the students. You guys, I'm here to advise, I'm here to help. in terms of give input and feedback, but I'm not going to do the work and I'm not going to be the person driving you guys to do it. You gotta do this on your own.
Yeah.
And I'm just here as your resource to help craft it or to help guide you in the right direction. And I must say it makes that experience so much more rewarding to know that, like, we didn't have a professor that was telling us every step of the turn what to do. We were there figuring out ourselves the way, you know, with his help here and there, but not as a controlling force the way that some professors in that program and that competition guide it. And so it just made, when we did win at district, it made it that much more rewarding that, you know, we had gone through all those steps on our own with, you know, with his guidance and help, but not in the direction that he's, you know, he wasn't trying to win that for himself the way some of the professors were. He wanted it to be our work, our hard work, our motivation that really took it there. And so that part, I don't even know that he knows that he was doing it that way. I hope he did, but we never talked about it. But, you know, it was probably, in looking back on it, it's probably one of the greatest parts of that made that so rewarding for all of us. And I'm still very close with the people that were on that competition. I mean, one of them, Caroline Klaus, she was, you know, ended up in working in advertising. And I, you know, we stayed really close and she moved to Atlanta when I moved to New York and I kept trying to get her to come to New York. And finally, you know, I had I was like, listen, I've got a guest bedroom. You can live there. She moved up here and she's like just thriving and doing so well at a content marketing agency, here. And, you know, and we're like, can you believe that we met, you know, all those years ago working on that competition together and we stayed friends. So it's one of those experiences that I think, those are few and far between. And when you can get them, and recognize the value that they can play in your development, it's such a special, thing.
100%. So talking about the agency life, because we touched on that a bit, and looking at your career, I'm looking at your LinkedIn profile right now. So, you know, from everything in marketing, why do you think you chose the agency life? Why do you think you stayed in the agency world and probably obviously considered changing sides, but what's your opinion on that?
I would like to say it's for all the parties. I'm joking. I guess I was always intrigued by the agency side because I loved the idea that you never had to work on one singular client.
The diversity.
The diversity of clients. And I was always a curious, mercurial soul. And I always wanted to, you know, what I love about advertising, you know, just enough to be interesting in a cocktail party, but never enough to be dangerous about an industry or business. And I love that I got to just kind of dip into all these different, or the idea when I started, you know, deciding whether I would go on the client or the agency side. I love that I had the opportunity to dip into these different businesses and learn about them, but never have to fully commit to working the rest of my career, let's say, at them. And then I think the other side would be, you know, in school I'd read, you know, David Ogilvy's book, and I was just kind of mesmerized by the advertising agency landscape, and how all these really bold, charismatic figures were behind these incredible agencies, and how, you know, they were larger than life characters in a lot of ways. And so I think that's what drew me to the agency side. And then I think, you know, my first job, my first full-time gig after that internship was working with Gray Advertising on a telecommunications account. And it was their largest account. And, you know, I got to literally move through all the different mediums. And literally in my first 2 years in advertising, I went from doing a bill insert that goes, you know, a physically printed bill insert and a bill. And what that advertising, I mean, can you imagine probably one of the most mundane tasks assigned to an assistant account executive at that time was designing and seeing through a bill insert. But then working all the way through to broadcast and to, you know, the digital experience and what was the website experience like, and what was our, you know, our marketing, our personalized marketing program. How was that digital space? How was that working? And so I literally got an experience. I feel like, you know, all the different aspects of the business working on that one account, but having very different learning experiences on the agency side. So that when I was ready, you know, to be promoted or you know, to move on, I had such a interesting, rich background to pull from that helped me, you know, on my career. And so I think, you know, listen, there are a lot of people come out and they go, I don't want to know if I'm going to have to be a let go because an agent, you know, agency loses an account. Whereas if I go client side, you know, the job security is much more of a known. And I always thought that was kind of a thrilling, exciting that you had to navigate this, you know, world of agencies where they're constantly shifting and changing and accounts are coming in and accounts are moving on. I like that dynamic and that energy that was delivered by that. But a lot of people don't. And so I think that's what drew me was, you know, the larger than life characters, the diversity of different opportunities that existed and kind of this dynamic energy flow that happens at an agency versus a client side. Yeah. And I think it's interesting. I think clients are changing. I think, you know, this is way before in-housing and you had in-house agencies and things. I think it's a different world today working on the client side than it was when I started off in the business. And so, you know, I was just at Anheuser-Busch, one of our clients. They do these creative awards for all their different marketing teams around the world. And they had theirs last Thursday. And I was sitting there watching all these teams and what they've worked on and the awards being given out. And I thought, this feels like an agency. It feels, you know, like there's a focus on creativity. There's a real value placed on creativity. You have these incredible solutions, innovative solutions being developed. You know, and I think the closeness of marketers to what's happening in real time to their consumers and what's happening in the marketplace. You know, I was looking at some of the teams and how they were literally reacting within days or hours in some instances to things that were happening in the social media space with regards to their brand or in just pop culture in general. And the ability for them to act that quickly as a client versus being the agency, which is just inspiring. And so I think, you know, it's a different world today. I think, you know, it would be a harder decision, I think, coming out and it must be for people graduating now to try to figure out if they want to go client.
Agency, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. And now you're Global Chief Communication Officer at FCB Global. It's interesting that it seems that, you know, even though now you're focusing on one brand only, you're dedicating yourself to the FCB brand, you don't lack any of the diversity. It still seems like you have such, you know, an extensive and very diverse, you know, task on your hand.
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, the other great thing is that this has kind of brought me closer, I think, in a lot of ways to clients because, you know, if there's one thing clients care about, it's you know, what's being said about them in the marketplace, especially with their peers, right? And so I love when we get to sit with the, you know, CMO and talk about, hey, how can we help, you know, help you? We had these three opportunities we want to bring forward that we think are interesting that to help not only tell the story of the brand and the work we're doing together, but also help you tell your story, you know, Mr. and Mrs. CMO. Yeah. And that part is so interesting too, because then you get to really get a perspective on, because we had the fortune here at FCB to work with some of the, you know, the world's greatest brands and some of the world's greatest marketers. And I think getting to sit and hear their stories and how they ended up, those folks ended up in their place of accomplishment is also equally inspiring and interesting. And they have their own, you know, unique perspectives and challenges that they've navigated. And so I love that part. I've loved getting closer to clients in a weird way. When you're in the business, you pitch the client, and you're really close with that client, you know, for the 3 months or however long you're pitching them, and then you go move on to something else. And rarely would you get to continue. You know, you might have you'd see them at events, agency events, or if you had another pitch for that, you know, for that business that was a new brand or something. But otherwise, your relationship was kind of limited as the new business guy. And now, you know, in this role, I get to kind of have more of an ongoing, sustained relationship with our clients. And that part it's really been exciting, especially as I think about what do I want to do in the future. And, you know, thinking about being a leader in an agency, having those relationships and being able to maintain relationships with clients and really get into understanding what makes them tick and what their challenges are, I think is incredibly beneficial as you think about, you know, taking on a larger leadership role at agent, you know, at an agency or on a client side or whatever I may do in the future. This, that part has been really, really valuable.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, how awesome the agency life is and how pink everything is. And I like to talk and I like to ask a bit of questions into a different direction. So, you know, can you tell us about a campaign or project that didn't go like you expected and you'd like to do over?
Well, you know, I never say that I actually think in life that sometimes the things that go wrong are just as beneficial.
Yeah.
And I know that's like probably a trite thing that people say, like, oh, I always learn more from my mistakes. but there's reason why these things are around, these statements are around, is because usually there's a kernel of truth somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that's right. I think, you know, some of the mistakes that we've either made as an agency or, you know, that we've had in partnership with clients, we've learned more from and grown from than your successes. And, you know, one of the things in this job, when I first started, we had a campaign that our Chicago office had taken on that was in the gaming space. And it was really meant, it was originally, the intent behind it was an effort to take on bullying that happens against female gamers. And there were just some really big mistakes that happened on. So I guess if I had, you know, for example, they hired a spokesperson who actually had been a female spokesperson who had actually been a bully herself.
Oof.
So that would probably be one item if I were going back and going, hey, you know, if there's one thing that we probably should do more on is vetting, and we do more of
due diligence, yeah.
Much more so than ever before. But, you know, even sometimes in your greatest vetting, you miss things. And
true.
And so, you know, then we stepped into this, I think the gaming world, as I learned through this experience, is probably one of the most critical in terms of, if you're not authentic and you don't know what you're talking about, you're going to get eviscerated very quickly. And we didn't have a team on leading this project that was really very well versed in the gaming space. And so we stepped into it in a really inauthentic way, you know, with the greatest intentions, but not in a way that that was successful for us or the client we're working with on the project. And it actually ended up taking a very, very bad turn. And I, you know, this was over the course of a weekend. I remember the project launched on a Thursday evening. By Friday, we were spiking in social media and in the different gaming forums. We were getting attacked in a very big way, to the point that, you know, we had an emergency call, I think late on a Friday night. And I was like, guys, it's time to pull the plug. You know, my professional opinion is we have done this wrong. We made a mistake. We've done this wrong. We've got to admit that mistake. We've got to be open and upfront about what our intentions were, what we did wrong, how we're learning from this, and, you know, apologize. You know, there's nothing else we can do. There's no spin on this. This is really, we need to be truthful at this stage. And that's what we did. I mean, this got picked up by mainstream press. Chicago Tribune picked it up, ended up picking it up. And we just had to be, you know, transparent and honest about what had happened and what our intentions were and where we'd gone wrong. And we learned from that in a big way. I mean, there were processes that changed in the agency on certain items. There was definitely a much more, careful approach to when there's an area that we're not as knowledgeable on, how do we have outside experts in that area be engaged early on so that they're actually part of the process all the way through, and make sure that we're listening to those experts and actually actioning their feedback and input. So it was incredibly beneficial in the long run, but something I would care not to relive, I must say.
I can imagine.
And there have been a couple of others of those, in this role, and certainly many more that I've had in my new business roles before,
right?
That you learn from. And that is something, for example, that experience is something it is burned in my memory. Like, you know, I can literally close my eyes and I have a painting that suddenly that comes forward like, as if I'm in a gallery looking at all the crazy things I've ever had to go through in my career. This is definitely one of the portraits in that gallery.
Well, thank you so much for sharing it. Thank you. I really appreciate you opened up the story. And I think it's very impressive how you handled it, how you guys handled it as a team. I think, you know, just owning it in that type of situation is extremely important. I think, you know, showing a bit of vulnerability to the audience is, you know, it can work in situations like that.
And I think that's right. And I think, you know, when you get on the phone with a reporter and a lot of times, you know, they think there's some big conspiracy behind what's happening, you know, or in this case, that was the case in this case. And we're like, there was no big conspiracy, guys. Like, here's what happened. We made the mistake. We weren't as knowledgeable in the space. And then they kind of like, they're like, oh, well, appreciate you guys being honest about that. Like, you know, whereas I think a lot of times, there are comms people that will say, oh, we got to find a way to spin this. And
right.
My thing is that, there, you know, those are human beings on the other side of the phone that can pick up on that. And they're really, by the way, you want to know someone who can tell when they're being spun or when there's, you know, a reporter can usually do that way quicker than anybody, you know, a client or anybody else can. And so my opinion is with that is just be truthful, you know, be as truthful as you can be. You know, a lot of times I think there are reporters who want you to be truthful to a level that, you know, there's sometimes where there's HR issues or things that where there's people's lives that are involved and you can't, you know, because of policies and laws and rules, you can't be, you can't tell the certain things behind what's going on. And in those cases, you have to be honest about that and say that, listen, I can't reveal that. This is ongoing investigation, or this is something that's going on, you know, whatever it may be. And I think as long as you're honest about that, you know, I think people really appreciate that, especially this day and age where I think there's so many people who just want to spin something and move on to that.
Yeah.
I think people really appreciate that. So
I can't agree more on this. So you mentioned, you know, about how the agency learned from this experience and improved. And this actually makes me think about my next question. What habits or skills did you struggle the most to develop in yourself across your entire career? And if you have any current ones that you're still trying to improve?
Well, I guess I would be a perfect robot if I didn't have flaws and I was always constantly, you know, we say at FCB, we're never finished. And it's, you know, that's kind of our mantra, our motto. And I love it in a lot of ways because, you know, it's always about growing. It's always about learning from mistakes. It's always about, you know, taking on learning new things and taking on new challenges and how that helps you develop. And I think the day, you know, I think someone said this before, that the day you stop learning is the day you might as well go ahead and lay down to die. Because I think if you're not always finding something to learn, that it's such a vast world and we only get one little slice of it for a finite amount of time. If you're not always finding something new to learn about and be curious about, then that's a sad place, I think, to be. So I hope that I hope I'm always improving on something, always finding new ways to be a better human being. But I would say, you know, one of the things I struggled with, I think early on, especially, was this need to always, I think when you're first coming out and you feel like you have to prove yourself, you always have to do everything the perfect way. And you're trying to climb the ladder up to promotions and impress your bosses. And you're in this constant need to, you know, put elbows out there and just say, hey, I'm the star, here I am. And I think then as you do find success, you realize that it's not about doing that. That actually what's much more rewarding is when you can help other people come along with you, and when you can help, and especially as you start to become a leader and start developing your leadership style, you realize that, you know, that there's some real challenges to always throwing those elbows and always trying to make sure the spotlight's on you. Is that, you know, A, it gets to be incredibly lonely, and B, you know, you end up making a lot of enemies along the way, and you're probably not tackling challenges in the most you know, collaborative and the most beneficial way for the end product. And so I think that was one of the things I had to learn early on, was like, you know, it's as much about the journey as it is about the destination, and, you know, and who you can bring along in that journey it can be so much more rewarding, not only to the project itself, but to you and who you become and who you develop into as a leader. And so I think that's probably one of the greatest things I had to learn early on. I think the other thing I would say is not being afraid to be vulnerable. And I think that, you know, there was a lot of times where I felt like you had to, you know, there's certain companies that perpetuate this culture, right? I mean, if you look in like the financial services industry and banking, you know, you're supposed to always look invincible. You're never, very right. Alpha male type, you know, mentality. And yeah. I think that pervaded in a lot of agencies, especially a lot of the big, you know, big global agencies. There was kind of this macho, male-dominated, you know, aspect of I can't show vulnerability, and I've got to be this fearless person. And even when I'm wrong, I'm gonna dig my heels in and show why I was right, you know. And so I think you know, to be fair, I think a lot of agencies that culture's changed with a lot of the developments that have happened in just, you know, and the wider world of culture at large. You know, things like Me Too and some of the other movements that have been happening, I think have really changed that, that us putting that culture on a vaulted, in a vaulted place. And I think now we're seeing the fractures and the challenges that something like that, culture like that can create. And so now you're starting to see it be okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to say, hey, I don't know. I don't know about that. Or, you know what, I was wrong there.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it's interesting, this world we live in now, especially with the politics here in the U.S. right now, you know, there's so much of a fear of admitting you're wrong or that you changed your mind.
Yeah.
And I think that's human nature. Like, we learn, we have different experiences that give us new perspective. And I think one of the dumbest things we can do is we continue to go, oh no, we were always right. And in my perspective, I was always right from the very beginning and I never changed. Like, I don't know why we make that be such a negative thing sometimes, where people grow and find new perspective and evolve their thinking. You know, I think that's something we need to put more value on, like getting new perspective, growing or evolving your thinking. In new ways. I think that should be something we always encourage people to do, especially leaders.
I love this. And I could probably listen to your stories forever, honestly.
I'm sorry, I'm talking too much.
No. I was really caught up in your stories and I didn't really realize, you know, how long we've been chatting. So I usually love wrapping up the interviews with this rapid fire questions. So,
okay.
Quick questions, quick answers, a few words. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Good. So if you wouldn't be doing what you're doing today, what else would you do?
I would be a writer, by hands down. I would love to be a movie script writer or a TV show writer. And it's funny, when I watch shows now, I find myself like writing different endings or writing things in my head.
That's so awesome.
Maybe one day I'll end up doing that.
I can totally see you doing that, 100%. You do have the stories, so 100%. Good. So what's your favorite app or tool that you use at work?
I have a meditation app called Calm. My mom
recently, that's great.
Revealed it to me and on a birthday trip we went on. And I must say, taking 10 minutes to literally still yourself and put your mindset in a place of meditation and thoughtfulness is one of the most incredibly rewarding things. And I literally just been doing that in the last, I would say, month or so, and it's been hugely helpful.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Worst advice you've ever received?
Worst advice I've ever received.
Ooh. Yes.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, I guess worst advice I received was I was told that moving to New York would make me a jaded human being, and that I should never do that. That, you know, and this is coming from someone. I grew up down south, and I was based in Atlanta for a little bit of time. And you know, I actually think living in New York, rather than making, and I think there, listen, I think any city you can live in, you can turn into a jaded person. But I actually think living in New York and being the epicenter of so many different cultures and so many different people has actually made me a more empathetic human being versus being a jaded or less empathetic one. So
yeah,
I mean, that was probably really bad advice.
Well,
I love living in New York.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't took it. Good. Yeah. And, my last one is, what's your favorite or most addictive social media network?
Oh, Instagram, hands down. I can sit and literally find myself falling into a story hole where you're like, wow, has it been 45 minutes and I've just been literally going story by story by story? It's one of those things that I think you actually have to watch out on. I think it's the road that said in all things balance. And, you know, I got to learn how to be better balanced. That's part of my going back to my calming app.
Yeah. So, I think Instagram stories is definitely like the binging of social media, the Netflix of social media. Great. Well, Brandon, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me and share your story.
Appreciate you giving me the opportunity. And I think what you're doing and telling the stories of this industry is incredibly important. So thank you for having me as one of your guests.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this. And we'll keep in touch. And for everyone else who joined in, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And don't forget, we have new episodes every Wednesday. Subscribe to People of Marketing on your favorite podcast app. And till next time.